going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is the biggest storyline of this year's draft in your opinion? Are you tired of the Shedeur Sanders story? Is the team that drafts him bound to be coached by his father one day? How interesting are the running backs in this year's draft?
Yes, it's draft day, my friend, and it's very exciting, and I think we're all getting very worked up about it. The biggest storyline, in my opinion, it may be this Shedeur Sanders story. It's not about him. It's about the position of quarterback. So I think the biggest story, I don't know that the best player in the draft will be drafted first, but I don't know that that happens in every draft. I think that the value of the quarterback position is so high that you would think that there will be a quarterback that goes number one overall, as there will be in Cam Ward. I cannot fathom the idea, and I've heard this from multiple people now, that there will only be one quarterback taken in the first round. I just think the need at the position is too great, and there is going to be someone who will fall in love with some quarterback. And I don't know that it's Shedeur Sanders. I don't know that it's Jackson Dart. I don't know that it's Milrow. There are plenty of opportunity possibilities. But if you come out of a draft with only one quarterback taken in the first round, I mean, that would floor me. That would knock me over if that is indeed the case. And if that happens, I think that's kind of the big storyline of the draft. It's not necessarily that player, although he's obviously generally regarded as the number two guy, and why is he going to go higher? He's not a great athlete. He runs into sacks. I mean, I get all the idea, but if you're telling me there's a draft where we got, like, we watched the whole season, there are like 15 guys that are playing into year 12 because they're all transferring across God's green acre, and you can't come up with another quarterback? You got one?
One.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy, and that would be a very unusual thing in an NFL draft.
The lack of quarterback talent is the biggest storyline, I believe, and you guys made a great point yesterday talking about the player that we know is going to go number one. The Titans have already revealed and told the young man that he is going number one, that if he would have been in last year's draft, he might have been a second or third, like sixth or seventh quarterback. And right away, you know, the other thing I found very interesting yesterday was a tweet from the information man from Fox, Jay Glazer, talking about that something else that NFL teams are questioning players about this year is whether or not they love football. And that's like, there's like certain guys are off certain guys' boards because of NIL, as David's doing his best Johnny Manziel over there, the money sign. Usually we get that from Mully, but today it's David with the money sign. I'll do it for the camera. I like to play to the cameras as well. And you know, the Shedeur Sanders.
It's my move. Why
the Shedeur Sanders. I gave you credit. I said you usually are the one who does it. Shedeur Sanders is. I'm so tired of that.
Why?
Because the Shedeur Sanders camp, if you will. If his name wasn't Sanders, you wouldn't even be being talked about. You wouldn't have been the quarterback at Colorado. We may not know that you even. You know, here's the other part about quarterbacks.
So you took the bait.
We all took the bait. I'm not the only one. Well, your answer is still to come. I won't be rushed. Is that where the quarterback falls? Where the quarterback falls is a big part of the quarterback's success. Where that quarterback ends up. If Shedeur Sanders lands in Pittsburgh, which a lot of people think is going to happen, there is no shot that Deion Sanders ever is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So funny you say that.
No shot.
A guy I know said to me the other day, we were talking about this, but I was saying this story is taking on some weird life of its own. And this guy said to me, he's like, yeah, because no coach wants him because he knows Deion's going to be replacing him in 2 years.
Except Mike Tomlin, who would be the perfect coach for Shedeur Sanders. I'm not convinced, as we sit here on draft morning, that Shedeur Sanders won't be a better NFL quarterback than Cam Ward. I think he could be in the right situation. In the right situation.
You do not like Cam Ward.
I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been able to conceal that. I'm not trying to. But I do think that will be a big story today about where Shedeur Sanders goes, whether it's 9 to the Saints, which would be a shocker, or 21st to the Steelers, which is where a lot of people have him mocked, or drops out of the first round altogether, which I think is the worst-case scenario. And unlikely. I think unlikely. The Giants could jump back in if that's the case and maybe take him at the end of the first round. But I do think that he has potential. And if his name were Joe Smith, there'd be a lot less attention paid him. But I do think you'd see a quarterback with a skill set that NFL teams appreciate. He's not a great athlete, which is ironic and unusual and unexpected, but he is a pretty solid, savvy quarterback. There are tools there to work with that I like and I would like if I were a talent evaluator. Now, the second part of this question is the most interesting part to me. How interesting are the running backs in this group? Hold on. Let me see. I got to check my pocket here. Oh, yes. Ashton Jeanty, no matter what.
Wow.
That is how important and interesting these running backs are in this draft. Take them, Bears. I don't know about moving up. I don't think he's going to be there. But I do love the idea that when you set the question did last night, you're like, are you going to write down on a sheet Ashton Jeanty or whoever, no matter what? Yes, I'm going full Sonny Weaver meatball. Ashton Jeanty, no matter what.
I don't think that made the cut, Seth.
Speaking of taking the bait.
There's two different questions there for me. It's,
what do you make of reports like the one from Albert Breer that suggests the Bears are one of three teams most likely to move up, possibly to be in position to draft David's guy, Ashton Jeanty? How high might they go, and what would it cost to move up?
Albert Breer and the New York Daily News, Pat Leonard, were guys who I think were reputable out there reporting the same thing, similar thing. The Bears are here. They're hearing the Bears are trying to move up. I don't think it's for Abdul Carter. That's unrealistic. It might be for Mason Graham. There's some agent chatter about Mason Graham out there.
That might be the surest player in the entire draft.
I agree with you. The floor being where it is his ability to help a team with a need at the defensive line. I would be okay with that. Now, the Jeanty thing is high risk, but I do think it would be high reward. I don't like the idea, believe it or not, as much fun as we're having with guys who were fixated on and what Ben Johnson could do with an Ashton Jeanty. I don't really like the idea of moving up that high and giving up a second-round pick who's a starter, in theory, to get Ashton Jeanty with as many questions surrounding his. Some people have some legitimate questions about his ability to break tackles at the NFL level because he's not going to be running against Mountain West defensive backs forever. So I get it. I don't know that I want to have too prohibitive of a cost. I don't know that I would give up 2 second rounders to move up to that point. Molly, you made a great point yesterday looking at the price of moving up based on last year's, you know, transactions. I'm not sure the Bears have enough to get to move up to there. If they do it, I may get swept away with enthusiasm. I'll let you know when that happens, if that happens. But right now, I would shy away. I would step away, and I would not let emotion rule me. I would want to play tonight as close to the vest and safe as possible because you're going to get a starter, an elite player, I think a special guy at number 10.
I think you can get a special guy at number 10. I do not want the Bears to trade up for Ashton Jeanty. I don't want them to. I think it was Jake Butt yesterday on the midday show. I thought he made an excellent point saying that he believes that the next 2 or 3 running backs in the draft give you 85% of what Ashton Jeanty gives you. So if you can get another guy and then another, and then a guy who gives you 85% of what Jeanty gives you, why wouldn't you do that? And I agree with that. I thought that was a very good way to look at it. The other thing about this draft is that, and Molly, you pointed this out, and I thought you did it very well, is that there are maybe 4 or 5 what most people actually – there's not a lot of agreement about this draft, but there is agreement. There are only about 4 or 5 Blues guys that have the opportunity to potentially – we joked around a little bit about, you know, wearing the gold jacket one day. There's only about 4 or 5 of them. There's plenty of really good guys, guys that will play 10 years, give you everything they got, love the game of football. So I don't want them to move up. I don't want them to lose 2 second rounds. I think David, you know, David's waving, talking about playing to the cameras today. David's,
I'm playing to you.
I think it would cost you. I think it would cost you both your second round picks, and I don't want the Bears to lose those 2 second round picks.
The Bears. They're listen. Let's everyone take a deep breath for a moment. The Bears are beginning this kind of rebuild. They did a lot of masonry work, if you will, in the off season, and getting together some players that can hold up and can keep the project moving forward. But that is not the finished product. That they did not revitalize all areas of their offense. They need to come out of this draft with 1, possibly 2 more offensive linemen. They need to come out of this draft with another defensive lineman, maybe another pass rusher as well. So I don't feel like the base of the building is strong enough moving forward that they could afford to give up anything, no matter what, to go up into the top 5 to take a running back. I'm sorry. It's just... I think there's 2 things that would stop me. It would be that there are so many premium running backs available. I've mentioned this before. There might be 6 guys that are really good running backs that would have a Pro Bowl season in them available to you in this draft. And there may be a total of 10 in the top 100 in this draft. That's a lot of running backs for a draft. I think you've got to balance that a little bit. I get it. If you could get the premium player, if you got the best of a group, whatever. But I don't know that this is the year to put all your eggs in that basket.
I think that's a really good point and well put. What it comes down to, as much fun as we're having, is that if the Bears were 1 player away from being a Super Bowl team, you could justify moving up. At this stage of their growth and development, they're not there yet. So you'd like to save the capital you do have, because those picks that you're willing to trade to move up are starters.
Yes.
On good teams.
Yes, you need starters.
Yeah.
But one thing I read yesterday was that the thought at Halas Hall might be that they believe they are.
See, that's
player
I saw
away,
the same thing,
right?
and I
that
thought
scares
and
you that, as a fan. And, that scares
and
me.
And that was my initial reaction, was like, no, you're not.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, no offense to anyone, but no way. What was the record last year? They lost 10 in a row. Does anyone remember that?
5-12, right? 5-12.
It's pretty ugly.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I understand the question.
Are you glad the Cubs are done with the Dodgers? What did you think of Matthew Boyd's performance? How about the bullpen?
I'm not glad they're done with the Dodgers. I got some more Dodger love in me. They could stick around for a while. That is so much fun to watch. The Dodgers are a good team. The Cubs look like a better team. And the Cubs look like, all of a sudden, it's not the best team in baseball. It's not the team that world champions. It's the best offense in baseball is coming for you. That's what these games have looked like against the Dodgers, and it's been tons of fun. And at both of these games, to have taken them in the way that they did, knowing they were coming to town and knowing that, with this, look at this, and then the Phillies, and, oh, they're still going to be tough. I feel like they have exceeded what our expectations were before this all began. You know, you came out of the two games in Japan, you just shrugged it off and you said, hey, that's, the Dodgers are awful good. And the Dodgers, I believe, won their first 8 games. Now look at them. They're another team that has 16 wins total, right? It's not like, they're kind of like a 500 team since they opened the season with those 8 wins. And I think the Cubs feel like the team that has more momentum right now, and certainly their offense has been absolutely fantastic. And what's super cool about it, too, is they don't feel like they can afford to sit around and wait. They feel like they're going to keep making moves, and you did that? No, we can't have that. I think it was Chris Kampka where I read this, where that was the first Here, let me just get this statistic because it's a very good one.
He does a great job for Marquis.
He does a great. I miss him on the White Sox, but he's got a better gig for himself. So God bless him. But he basically said that this is the first time that they have allowed three plus unearned runs and still won a two-game series like that. They hadn't won two in a row. I can't find it. I'll have to look it up. But it is an excellent statistic because they've won despite their defensive failings because the bats are so damn good.
For now, I guess it's good to be done with the Dodgers because I think, David, you mentioned it, and I agree with you, mark the tape, that the Cubs got them at the right time. Shohei Ohtani's mind wasn't in the right spot right now, not because anything's wrong, but he's probably excited new father. And I wondered if he was even going to be here, to be honest with you. I thought he might take a couple of days, and I would not have, believe it or not, beat him up for not being here and being with the birth of his first child. I hope the Cubs get to do this again because that means it'll be done in Craigtober. As far as Matthew Boyd's performance, up and down, but it's hard for me to say it, but kudos, I guess, to Craig Counsell for leaving him out there. I thought he left him out there one inning too long, and it almost came back to cost them, but it didn't, so it worked. So the confidence, and Matthew Boyd seemed very appreciative of the fact that he was given the opportunity to stay out there longer because it would have been a very easy hook. It was an easy hook for Mike Carr when I was listening to Pat and Ron. I'm like, I cannot believe he's in there, and I can't believe you're pitching to him.
I agree with that. I had the same reaction, but I'm glad that Matthew Boyd was on the mound last night, and even though it wasn't his sharpest outing, I do understand why they stuck with him. You look at the way the Cubs are as a pitching staff, they're piecing things together. This is much more difficult than it appears from the outside. And maybe, you know, we are kind of in this Cubby nice little glow and euphoria over sweeping the Dodgers for two games, and they are 16-10. But this is a difficult time for this pitching staff. Last night, we didn't know during the game, you go from Matt Boyd into the bullpen and you see Porter Hodge on the mound and you're like, oh, that's an interesting idea. I wonder what's going on. Ryan Pressly got his knee drained?
Yeah.
Post game, you learn that?
I'll find that out.
So now you got a bullpen that's not only shaky but injured again. He will be back later this week, we are told. But thankfully, Matthew Boyd did come up in a big way. So he's a clutch pitcher. He's a veteran presence. Craig Counsell is doing a good job, Dustin. And for people that want to pick it apart every single day, that's part of the role that we play. That's part of the job that he has. But let's face it, after the teeth of this schedule, and it gets tough this weekend, Phillies are in town, doesn't get any easier, but they've done a nice job.
Here's the Chris Kempka factoid. This is the first time the Cubs have consecutive games in which they allowed three plus unearned runs and one since June 11th and 12th, 1914.
Oh my gosh.
1914.
They do need to tighten up the defense,
they
which
do.
Is what we'll get to in a moment.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 825. Why did the Cubs sign Nicky Lopez? How surprised were you that they immediately sent down Gavin Hallowell to make room for Drew Pomeranz? How would you describe the plans at third base and the bullpen?
I was really surprised they sent down G-Man. I thought G-Man was here to stay. G-Man earned himself a nickname by setting down six guys in a row. Gavin Hallowell will be back, I think. I hope that he comes back and is better for this experience. Drew Pomeranz has got to be here because he had that clause in his contract, I guess, that
yeah.
He didn't activate it within 72 hours. He could go back on the street or end up back in Milwaukee, who knows where. But at least Drew Pomeranz is here to make us all feel better about a left-hander in the bullpen. I don't know about Nicky Lopez. Good guy to have on the team. No Chicago, pride of Naperville. Local guy made good.
Yeah.
I think he's here to field ground balls. to make sure that none go under his glove. I think he's here to tighten up the defense that has been too leaky for a defensive-oriented infield. And for a team that takes such pride and is built to play sound defense, the Cubs have been a little sloppy lately. Gage Workman, two errors, had to go. I got some Rule 5 information later for you, Molly, because I think I have to look into that.
Good, buddy.
So anyway, Nicky Lopez is here. I think he's going to play with Birdie. Maybe that's a little platoon they got going there. Don't think Brujan's in the picture. We know what Justin Turner's capable of doing, DHing. So that may be their plan at third base. I don't like it. I don't like the plan at third base. Here's the only thing that I felt good about yesterday in terms of the third base plan. PCA doing what he's doing gives me hope that Matt Shaw one day will be following the same path, because PCA also struggled in his first cameo at the major league level. So I have hope in Matt Shaw because of what PCA has done lately.
So just to be clear, you're okay that they got rid of Gage Workman? Because I think I suggested it yesterday and I was like, don't have a knee-jerk reaction to making errors.
Well, I'm surprised at it, but I don't mind the urgency. I gave it some more thought, Dustin.
All right, that's good. I think. Listen, I even can make my mistakes as well. Gavin Hollowell, you know, he's got options, right? And so you signed Drew Pomerantz. Like, I guess Air Ricketts wasn't available to get Drew Pomerantz here quicker, so that's why they probably made the move with Gavin Howell when they did or how they did. And don't be surprised. So was Nicky Again, I was on radio most of the game last night. Mm. Was Nicky Lopez in a Cubs uniform and on the bench last night?
I don't know that.
Okay, because I don't be surprised, and this is going to be another knee-jerk reaction, jerk being the key word, don't be surprised if Nicky Lopez is in a Cubs dugout on Friday afternoon and Brujan is not.
Hmm. Oh, you've got him.
That's going to be my corresponding move, that they are going to flip-flop those two on Friday.
Yeah, I think that I think Workman is the guy that was sent down to create the 40-man spot for him.
Because
that's why they had to move the other reliever out so Pomerantz could be on the team, right? I'm just saying, from a 40-man perspective, I don't know that they need a spot, if that's what you're implying, because I think they're caught
I'm
up.
Saying it's more than the 40-man. We're talking about like the active roster.
No, the active roster. I'm saying I think that's the spot. I think Workman was sent asunder because they decided they were going to bring in someone to play third base. And that's the decision they made. You know, we know Nicky Lopez, and you know, he'll be a try-hard guy for them. He will play good defense for them. That's what he can do. He's a good defensive player and a light-hitting baseball player. So, you know, does being in this lineup, does being around this kind of support pick up his hitting? Does it make him? Does the idea that once everyone starts going, anybody can start going? So I don't know. Does that help him? Is what I'm saying. Maybe it does. But I would say that he's here because they know he can play defense. They had him here in camp. When he didn't make the team, he went to the Angels, and the Angels just released him, right? Isn't that why? Was it the Angels? Is that why he was available?
Angels DFA'd him.
Yeah, so they had a possibility of getting someone in here that they knew, and they can play some defense, and that's the only reason they did it. I'm saying that's the only reason they got rid of Workman is because of his defense. And Nicky, he'll be able to play third base. He can play. He's a good utility guy, can play all those positions.
Okay, next question.
That's the voice of Ozzie Guillen. You hear him here on Wednesdays with the Mully and Haw Show. Yesterday suggested moving Luis Robert Jr. down in the lineup and or replacing Andrew Vaughn at first base. Mm. Either realistic? Would either move make an impact?
I think, honest to God, at this point, anything is acceptable. Do something. Try something. Do anything. Try anything. Sign Gage Workman if you can get him. Get anybody that has a hint of a shadow of a baseball bat in their future. Anybody that could actually make contact with the ball would be a welcome addition on the south side. If Robert can't hit, move him down. That's fine. Vaughny, you want to replace him? They got a guy in Elko who's – in the minor league. I'm not a big Elko guy, but I'm not a Vaughny guy. So yeah, do anything. I think it's all realistic. I think they need professional baseball players, and they don't have any. And frankly, I'm torn between being absolutely appalled and just verbalizing that they went out and they got, you know, Martin Perez. That was the baseball player they signed in the offseason. You know, what are they doing? They do not have guys that can hit on that roster. You know what happened yesterday? They scored 3 runs in 1 inning, and that was it. That's the White Sox offense. And frankly, it's unfair to everybody. It's unfair to anybody that ever paid for a ticket. It's unfair to anybody that ever watched a game. It's unfair that you are running an organization in this fashion. And if you don't want to, let someone else do it.
Well, Tim Elko, Mully, is 6'3" and 250 pounds, so much bigger target than going Vaughn. That was a thing, right? In regards to Luis Robert Jr.
But he's not 280.
Yeah, no, that we'll save that later. That's coming up in the extra point, David. There will be a 280-pound bear when we get back here tomorrow. Just a matter of which one. I don't know why you would move Luis Robert. If you, like, do that, then just, like, DFA. Like, if you do that, you're just telling everybody, like, we don't believe in him. Maybe you
move
give
him down to take some of the pressure off him.
But you got to be able to deal with pressure. Well, if he's getting traded to a team that's playing in Craigtober, how about this? How about sitting him today? How about sitting Luis Robert Jr. today, having him sit right next to the skipper? And then he seemed to respond to that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So let's see if that would work. And I know, how would you sit the guy? They're going to get, they're about to, doesn't, the record doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You got to get this guy's mind
right.
Make
a statement, get him going, then you can trade him.
Sit Luis Robert Jr. today. That's my suggestion.
I would also move him down in the order, maybe 5th or 6th. I hate to acknowledge this, but I've been a long-time Andrew Vaughn guy, but I think he's lost me. I just can't continue to hope that he's going to get it. Somebody of his draft status, he is baseball Patrick Williams. He was overdrafted, and he's been a model and symbol of disappointment. Ooh. And I'm sorry to acknowledge that, but this has been terrible to see the decline in his approach and all the numbers that he's not producing. So, Elko, whoever, give Lenin Sosa more spots at first. I don't care. Andrew Vaughn's not getting it done. Maybe he can see what you could get for him, and a change of scenery would benefit everybody. As for what else they can do to supplement this offense, which is moribund and just really, really sad. Mully, should a player who was a Rule 5 draft pick on his new team clear waivers, he must be offered back to his previous team for $50,000 and can be outrighted to the minors only if his original club does not wish to reacquire him. So Gage Workman is on waivers, designated for assignment, I believe, and he has to clear waivers for...
So the White Sox could claim him right now. What? Why
the way
would they
I understand
not?
It.
Why
would we'll they ask not? Bruce at 825.
Claim him.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
How did you feel when you learned that Steve McMichael passed away yesterday? Did you have many experiences with him or about him? How will you remember his impact and his career?
All of us had a little bit of a connection with Steve McMichael, obviously working with him in the sports media after his playing career. I did not cover him as a player necessarily with the Bears, but I do think that everyone will feel his loss in Chicago just because of the attention paid, his struggle with ALS, and the way that he faced it and the way that he embraced the struggle. He died with dignity. And as much as we say that he was larger than life, and he was, I think he'll be even bigger in death. His legacy will be of one that shows you how to handle this kind of sentence in your life and the struggle that everyone has to endure. ALS is a cruel disease, and Steve McMichael tried to smile his way through it until he couldn't any longer. So he was inspiring. He was an example. And we will miss him dearly. And the only thing that you feel, as we address the question, how did you feel when Steve McMichael, we learned that he passed away yesterday? There was a sadness, but there was also a sense of relief because he's done suffering.
Sadness and then relief, David, I think are a good way to look at it. Earlier in the week, we had heard that hospice had been called, but there's been other times where he's been taken to the hospital and you thought they were going to lose him then. And then we've had calls here at the station. I had a guy that I believed was giving me good information that he had been transported to a hospital and that he wasn't going to make it. And I put in some calls and that ended up all being false. So shame on that caller for doing that to me specifically and to us. No real experiences, you know, watched him from afar, loved watching him. You know, he went into professional wrestling. Always fun with that. You know, the surprising thing to me, and something I didn't realize, I realized it a year or so ago when his Hall of Fame induction happened, that he was elected, but that he is the second all-time for Bears sacks. This is from a defensive tackle. This was never a guy that moved to the outside. Now, you could say, well, there was a lot of pressure, guys can't, but still, you know, I would have thought that was Dan Hampton. And Dan Hampton is basically 38 sacks shy of McMichael. You know, that's amazing. But McMichael played in 181 games as a Bear to Hampton's 109. I mean, just the amount of games he played as a Bear, he will be missed. I'm glad he got into the Hall of Fame. But I hope if he was suffering the way it appeared that he was, that that's no longer happening.
Yeah, both the guys you mentioned, all-time Bears, some of the greatest players I've ever seen. I remember when Steve McMichael came to Chicago, and I remember talking to people who were at that training camp, and, you know, he was the guy that jumped into every drill, that treated every drill like it mattered, that, you know, found his way into the coach's heart in a hurry because of stuff like that. And he played like that his whole career. He just was a warrior as a player, a great player, and got the utmost out of his career. I did interact with him at different points and got to know him a little bit, always enjoyed his company. I know he was an intimidating figure, but if you got to know him a little bit, he was just a really good guy, just at his heart, like a really good guy. And, you know, really enjoyed my interactions with him. And the ALS, that disease, and the way that it silences a person, and then kind of the way that they pass away, the way that it eats away at their flesh and their body. His spirit was never hurt by it, right? But good God, it was difficult at various points to see him as this thing was attacking him. It was really difficult, as it is with any sort of larger than life person. And there was, you know, a certain comic book type of heroism with some of those guys back in those days, that just, what a big, powerful guy. And to be waylaid by a disease like that is just so horrible, and just so kind of makes you contemplate a lot of different things. But, you know, a really wonderful person, and the world is a worse place without him.
Well put.